Let's start. Where we are is looking at Shiramala. And going through all of them, we've done some of them in the past, but looking at them more systematically. And as a chazara, those who haven't been here, started from that last parak in Sefer Shmuel, where David discovers the place where he's going to build the Beit Mikdash. He decides he's going to build the Mizbeach there, and he starts building it. And then Sefer Shmuel ends. And in Divrei Yamim, it continues on that this was going to be the place for the Beit HaMikdash. And we started with the Gaita from Gemara and Sukkah, which I'm going to read through, which is very interesting. Kind of hard to understand. It's a Gaita, right? We take it seriously, but not literally. And the Gemara there is talking about the Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot, the 15 steps that were leading up to the Beit HaMikdash. The Levim would stop on every one of those steps and sing one of the Shir HaMala, literally the song of the step, on each one of those. So Rav Chista asks, this is generation after Rav Yehuda Nasi, this is well after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, is asked the person who is in charge of Agadata, whoever is giving the lectures in Agadata in the yeshiva, and he asked them, Amrali says to him, Shmilach, you know, Hani Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot, Knege Mi Amron David. What are these 15 steps? There are 15 Tehillim that are called Shir HaMala, we know that. Corresponding to that, they built 15 steps in the Beit HaMikdash, but what's the 15 from? What do they mean? Amrali, so this person, whoever is the Agada guy, says back, Haki Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this we learned from Rabbi Yochanan, and David was building the foundations, the drain pipes underneath the Mizbeah. The depths rose up above the Mishpatei Alma, and the waters of the depths rose up and were going to do, you know, flood the world, just like they did back in the time of Noah. And then Amar David, Chamesh Esrei Malot, are we done? So David sang these 15 Shir HaMalot, and those prayers brought them back down. Yihachi, then Rav Chista asked back, Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot, then it doesn't make sense to call them songs of going up. Ma'ala, yordot mi ba'alei, she called these songs of going down. So Amar Lei, so the Agada Rebbe says back to him, Holo v'adikarad milta, since you mentioned it, I'm going to tell you a story. You asked for it, I'm going to tell you the whole story, you sit down and listen. Okay, this is the way it goes. David was digging out the foundations. The depth rose up and we're going to flood the world. David said, "Mi ika diyada yishar li michtav shem akaspa." And the version of this that's in the Shemot Rabbah, it says that as he's digging, he finds a shard of clay that's been sitting in the ground, and he pulls it out, and that's what basically lets the drain loose. That was holding the waters back, and that's when the waters start. And then David says, the other Ishari Mukhtav Shema Kasta. And David asks, can I write the name of God on this shard? Benishtei B'tahoma. And I'm going to throw it into the water. I'm going to do something Kabbalistic, write a shame, you know, holy name. And it'll stop the waters from rising, but it's going to erase the name. And that's a bad thing. You can't erase the name of God. And that the waters will go back. And at that point, David asked that to those who are around him. Look at the Kamram Lay Midday, and no one says anything. Surrounded by people, the waters are rising. They're all going to drown. What are they going to do? Amar David, call the other Lemaymer in Omer, Yechanak Begrono. Anyone who knows an answer, but doesn't tell me, they should choke. So Nasa Achitofel. So Achitofel was with David at this point. Achitofel, we'll have to remember, is David's advisor, is also the grandfather of Bathsheba. So Achitofel is not, and he will eventually join the rebellion against David with Avshalom. He hasn't done that yet. He's still David's advisor. So Nasa Achitofel Kal Vachomer Batzmo. Achitofel thinks that makes a Kal Vachomer. You know, Malasot l'shalom ben ish l'ishto, that in order to make peace between a man and wife in the Sota ritual, where they write the the name of Hashem on a parchment with the whole pasuk, and they erase it into the waters, drinks the waters, that's the sota. And the Torah, Amra, Torah says, Shmi Neshechtav Dusha, that my name, God says, written in holiness, Yimachel HaMayim, should be erased. So therefore, I'm like Kal Vachomer, Laso Shalom Mechol Olam Kulo, to make peace in the whole world. I don't want the world destroyed. Achav Kama Vakama. Should be more so. Definitely you can erase the name of God in order to make peace in the world. Stop the flood. So Amar Lei, so Achtevel tells back, Shari Yitzhak, it's okay, go ahead and do it. So Katav Shema Kaspa, David writes the name of God on this shard, Vishari Latoma, and throws it into the deeps. The Nechei Tahoma and the depths retreated back, Shetar Alpe Garmidi, went back 16,000 Amot. Kichali Nechei Tuba, when David sees that the waters are going so far back, Amar, he says, Kama Dimi Delay. Wait, the closer it is to the surface, Tvei Mertav Alma, the earth will be moister. If the waters go away that far, then we're going to have a drought. I don't want the waters that far away. So Amar Chamesh Esrei Malot. So that's when he says his 15 songs of Aliyah, bringing back. Akseh Chameser Alfei Garmidi, and the waters rose up another 15,000 Amot. Ukmei Ba'alfei Garmidi, and we're left 1,000 Amot below the surface. And that's the Agadah. That's the story. Very strange, very hard to understand this. And we looked at it in the sense that of the way Rav Medan looks at it. And this idea of the waters rising up and flooding the world is an echo of the original flood in time of Noah. That part, the important part of the sin of that, that's mentioned specifically, was that the Anshei Hashem, that the famous important people, would take whatever women they want. They didn't care about relationships. And that's exactly what David did with Bathsheba. So this is an echo of Bathsheba. And in the aftermath of Bathsheba, Hashem's threatening basically to flood the world again. This is bringing the flood back. And Achitophel, who is Bathsheba's grandfather, is going to decide, is he going to take revenge? Is he going to try to avenge his granddaughter? Or is he going to make peace in the world and let it go? And in this reading, he lets it go for a period of time. Eventually, he's going to end up with trying to get David killed in the story of Absalom. But right now, within this, he says, Shalom is more important. And then we try to get the connection. What does that have to do with the Shir HaMalot? What is that about? We said that the flood water, the flood in the world, was symbolic of, based on other Tehillim, we looked at Tehillim Samach Tet, was symbolic of being surrounded by Lashon Hara, gossip. That was what was threatening to drown David. He lost all respect of his people, and he needs to pull that back. And that's what the flood was, and he's trying to bring the waters back. Rather, trying to make the waters go down by taking away by saving himself from this flood of Lashon Hara. And with the connection with if you look at the Shir HaMalot, and we're going through that quickly, that starts out, we know a lot of them, Shir HaMalot, B'Shir Hashem, Ma'akim, but it starts out with Hashem, Hatzila Nafshi Misfat Sheker. God save me. This is Kufchat, the first of the Shir HaMalot. Save me from literally the lips of lying, Lashon Ramiya, tongue of deceit. That's Lashon Hara. That Chitzei Gibor Shirunim, they're like arrows that can fire from afar. And to be saved for them. And then he asked, Esai Naim Ha'arim, Me'anya Vazri, where's my home come? And then he gets to the point, the next one is talking about Yerushalayim. I want to go to Yerushalayim. And they're talking about that, but I need the shalom, usually I need the peace there. And then it continues in Elecha Nasati Einai, that corresponding, where is my help come from? What am I looking at? Ineke Einai Avadim, Yadon Nonehem. We look at God as Avadim, as slaves. And that's one way of getting sort of things under control, is what we call a relationship of Yira. As Avadim. We're not Banim to Hashem, we're Avadim, but whatever we can do, that's what's going to save us. And then Kuf Chavdalet makes this metaphor of the flood explicit. When it talks about Lulei Hashem Hayalanu, that if God was not with us, then Azai Chaim Balanu There we go. As I had my interest, the water would have swept us away. Nachala, avar nafshenu, the currents would have drowned us. That avar nafshenu, amayim, azedonim, that we would have drowned in this evil water. Again, metaphor for the about the literally gossip by the Lashon Hara drowning him, and he needs to be saved. And we went through this all until Kof Chof Chet, where we end up at the point of being saved, Yoruch Hashem Mitzion, Rebbe Tu Yerushalayim, but still it is a relationship we said before, a relationship of Yira, of Enei Abadim Al Yad Adonaihem. And that's where we are. And now we're going to go move forward from there. Save that. And to look at Kuf Lamed, which is halfway there. We have this sort of metaphor of going up the steps or trying to approach the Beit Midash, and halfway up is this relationship of Yira, of looking at Hashem as to an Adon. And then we start with Kuatilim Kuf Lamed, which is Shir HaMalot, Mimakim Kratich Hashem. We all know this well, we say this all the time. What does that mean? From the depths I call to you. What are those depths? See, yes, Hashem Shema B'Koli. God, listen to my voice. Tiyera Adachaku Shivot L'Kol Tachnai. Hear my prayer. So most Mepharshim assume that the depths here are talking about the physical suffering. Lo Yisteh B'nei Yisrael, Ibn Ezra here, Bavur Hayot Yisrael B'Galut. We're in exile, B'Dalut, and we're poor, B'Kalut, and we're treated lowly, v'sheflut, and we're being oppressed. That's not what the whole parak is about. It doesn't describe oppression, it describes being far away from Hashem. We want Hashem to be close to be able to listen to us. So I'd read this mamakim, that's talking about, that's our distance from Hashem. Right? I call you from the depths, I'm so far away. That's midat hadin, that's this relationship of yira from God. We want to get closer. And a lot of this came from an article by Yonatan Jacobs, who is a professor of Bible at Bar Ilan. That's on the Gersh website, the hatanach.com. The quote here is Midirei Bala Mizmor Kuflamed. So the psalmist in Kuflamed is telling El Hashem, the way his words to Hashem, Niten Lavin, we can understand. So Vel Bahagisho Merchak Rav. What he's feeling here is this distance between him and God. They've gotten past the point, they're not drowning in the Lashon Hara anymore. They've saved, but they're still very far away. Right? Because we're imperfect, we do wrong, we have these, we do sins. And that's the, we'll see that as we go on there. As the Rambam says that's what happens when we think about God being perfect and we're just so imperfect, we immediately get to this sense of distance from God. This is the Hilchot Yisodei Torah. V'shashi b'nen adam masav ubro abro av haniflaim agdolim. I mean, you're standing and stop and think about God's great creations and incredible acts. Yireh meham, we immediately become afraid. You stand back in awe. And Yira Meham will see God's wisdom, that's infinite and endless. When you think about these sorts of things, you're merely kind of drawn back. We're not close to God, we're far away. Yira Vifached, and it'll be afraid. Yeda Shu Beria Kitana Shvela Apela, that you're a small, dark, insignificant creation. And you're not very smart. Your thoughts are so minimal compared to the infinite of God's wisdom. David, as I said, Shamecha, when I see your skies, man, what is man that you have noticed him? Human beings that you would remember them. So our first relationship with Hashem is Yira. And so he continues. If you pay attention to sins, then who can exist? We can't exist. God's perfect. We're imperfect in the face of a perfect God. We just don't exist at all. Rav Soloveitchik calls that yira, I like this word, the consciousness of ontic separation. Ontic means existence, having to do with reality, right? We are completely separated from the source of reality. We can't exist. Miyambo. But the parak says, kimchas slicha leman tivare. But you have invented slicha. Tshuva, we can be forgiven. So even though we're imperfect, God, you let us exist. Thank you. Gemara says about that, you know, tshuva is actually a miracle. It was created in order to allow creation to exist. The quote by Tanya, Shiva Devarim Nivru Kodem Shinivra Olam. There are seven things created before the actual act of Bereshit. They'll hand the Torah for the blueprint of Torah and then tshuva. If Hashem's going to allow us to be imperfect, tshuva has to happen. And that slicha exists, leman tivare, so that you can be feared. That we can exist even in this state of year, we're so far from Hashem, but the fact that the tshuva is possible means we can exist. But we want more. We want the Abba, the closest. And in fact, the Rambam says that really what happens first when you contemplate God is we want this closeness to God. V'shashi b'nena dam b'masav. When a person understands God's words, Barov HaNifla'im HaGadolim, and his wondrous act, creations, Yirmei Mehem Chachmatosha, Ein Lo Erech Lo Ketz, and sees infinite wisdom, Miyad Hu Ohev. That's the statement of Ahava, of desire to be close. Meshabeach, Mefer, praise God, and with Avet, Hava Gadolah, and have this incredible desire, Leda Shem Gadol, to know God's name, to get close to God. Moshe Amar David, we have Tehillim, Tzama Nafshi, my soul thirsts, Lo Kim, Kol Chai. But that's what we want, even though we are nothing. So the parak says that the matavri is a possible cause of slicha. It's possible to get close to God, and then it switches from a prayer to Hashem, addressing Hashem directly, which is ki imcha slicha, because you have it. It switches to the third person. Psalmist is now addressing the audience. That's us, telling us this is what we need to do. So kiviti Hashem kitanashi, I hope for God, my soul hopes, l'dvaro hakalti, and I yearn for his words. Nafshi l'Hashem, my soul, and there's a missing verb there. My soul yearns for God, longs for God. More literally, it is for God. Nafshi l'Hashem, mishom min haboker, more than those who watch for the morning. Mishom min haboker, those who watch for the morning. And Jacobs adds in his article, interesting point about this, Nafshi l'Hashem, my soul is to God. Yes, let's say, yeah, we should point out, so Megillat Mizmei Tehillim, Shenitgaleh b'mara b'Qumran, that in the Dead Sea Scrolls of Tehillim, it adds the word Ochili, meaning that it says, Ochili Nafshi l'Hashem, my soul yearns for God. So whoever wrote the Qumran scrolls actually added that in. We don't have that word there. We're just leaving Nashil Hashem. It's there. My soul yearns for God. And Mishomrim Laboker, more than those who wait for morning. And some of Farshim would read that as, I am one of them. I am one of the Shomrim Laboker. That's where Radak puts it. Nafshi Homol Hashem, my soul hopes for God. Balayla and the night, that I want to be one of those who wake up for Vatikan Minyan and daven early in the morning, which I think is more literal than it really fits here. This is more of a simile, as Rabbi Ezra puts it. I hope for God the way people who are awake at night hope for the morning. Nafshi kaptal Hashem yoter mishomrim lachamot laboker. The watchman at night, just waiting for that moment when the sun finally rises, when the shift's over. Now, I work overnight. I know exactly what that means, to be just counting the hours. Okay, my replacement's coming, 7 o'clock. I just have to make it a little bit longer. They can't stop the clock. That's shomrim laboker. I just want that one step more. But I think there's a deeper meaning to that, to the idea of hoping for the morning. Because if you look at the Tochacha, the curses in Ki Tavo, when it describes all the terrible things that are going to happen says, that your life will be hanging in the balance. You'll be afraid morning and night. You won't have any faith that you're going to survive. You'll be always scared. In the morning you'll say, oh, if it was only evening. In the morning you'll say, in the night you'll say, if only it was morning. From his fear, from the terrible things you're going to see. So this shomim laboker is this, well, an existential angst. I can't believe I will continue to exist. I don't have faith in that. That's hayu chayecha tuliyim. Your life's hanging the balance. So I hope for you, nafshi l'Hashem, because that's the only thing that lets me continue to exist. So I need to get close to you. So he ends up as the perek, the last psukim, to exhorting everyone else to hope for Hashem, yearn for Hashem, just as he does. That's what's going to save us, is that relationship of Abba. Yachay Yisrael Hashem, Israel, you need to all hope for God. Gim Hashem Achesed, because Chesed belongs to God. You're taking a step away from Kimcha Aslicha, you're going to forgive us, to actually Chesed, which is a sense of being one with another. Rabbeimu Fidut, and God will redeem us for De Israel Michol Abanatav, and he will redeem Israel from all their sins. Even though we're imperfect, we can still exist. That this chesed here, this idea of chesed is inyana hi ahava ba'anafa. It's the idea of ahava, of love for God. It's again, the sense of being close, to being one with us. Because yira is being far away, ahava is being close. And that before we said imcha slicha, now we're trying to get to the chesed. Because the source of slicha is Hashem's chesed. And we say that when Moshe is asking Hashem to forgive Bnei Israel after the Chet HaMeraglim, says, Slachna Avonai Amazeh, forgive these people, to go to Chastecha, as your chesed, as your mercy is great. Just you carry them till now, you will continue to carry them. So in order to get to the point of who Yifdet Yisrael, we need to get that chesed. So we need to get this relationship Ava with Hashem instead of Yira. So if we're looking at this model of Shir HaMalot, of kind of steps one at a time moving forward, we need to get the past the point of Enei Avadim Yad Adonaihem. We're not Avadim, we need to be Banim to Hashem. So the next parak is a continuation of that. That was Kuf Lamed, and this is Kuf Lamed Aleph, and Shir HaMalot of David. And it's an expansion of that last pasuk. It says, Hashem lo gava libi lo ramu enai. My heart was not proud. I love the word supercilious. Supercilious literally, super means higher and cilia means eyebrows. Supercilious means raising your eyebrows. That's what, lo ro ramu enai. I didn't raise my eyes. I wasn't haughty. Lachti begadlutu niflot mimeni. I didn't do anything that was too great for me. I stayed humble. I swear that I have made my soul be quiet. Kagomel alai imo, like a weaned child on his mother. Kagomel alai nafshi, my soul is like a weaned child. And Yachel Yisrael Hashem, Israel, you need to all hope for God. May I have it on forever. So the way we get to this Ahavat Hashem is humility. Don't be too proud. I like this quote from C.S. Lewis. So C.S. Lewis is the Orthodox Jew's favorite Christian. Okay. Most of what he said, we ignore the Christian part. This is from Mere Christianity. Do not imagine if you meet a humble man. What does it mean to be humble? Even most people call humble. Not this greasy, smarty person who's always telling you, of course, he's a nobody. You know the joke about the rabbi who goes up and says, I'm a nothing. And the chazan goes up in Yom Kippur and says, I'm a nothing. And then some guy goes back and says, I'm a nothing. Rabbi Tosafot, the chazan says, look who thinks he's a nothing. Right? If you meet someone who's really humble, all you'll think about him, he seems a cheerful and intelligent chap, took a real interest in what you said to him. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. Usually summarizes, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. And that's the first step, right? We get to that point of being able to understand other people, right? Listen to Hashem, listen to other people. Just quiet and listen. And then that's what it means, Im lo shiviti v'domamti nafshi. Right? If I had not quieted my nefesh, it's an aposiopesis, which means the unfinished thought that if I had not quieted my nefesh, then bad things would have happened. I would never have achieved this closeness to Hashem. I need to be quiet. Stop and listen to others. And the second step is this, gamal alaya imo. That's to be like a weaned child with their mother. That relationship with Hashem is not transactional. I'm not looking for what I can get out of it. The gamul is a weaned child. That babies are selfish. They just want the nurse. The mother's just to feed them. And that creates a bond there. But weaning doesn't take away that bond. The bond itself is a relationship, right? This is the way Amos Chacham, who's the editor of the Masada Rav Kook Tehillim, puts it. Gamul, the idea of weaned, who yelled shekavar gamar to gufat yinikto. Someone who's already completed nursing. They're not nursing anymore. Bafal pikein, who karuch achreimo, still loves his mother. B'chash atzmo b'shea o'shar, thinks that the greatest happiness, who nitzmad el ha-chazesh lemo, when he's nestled against his mother, afal pishe eno motzeh shum chalav li'anit. He's not nursing. He's just there. Just being there is enough. Hacha m'sharer. So to the psalmist, Chashad Asmo, Shalav Umushar, finds himself at peace and happy, Bipichono Bashem, in his security, his faith in God. Bitachon Shalom Al Manat, Makabel Pras. It's not faith in order to get anything, we're just there. That's the next step. And so Jacob summarizes it. Mizmarim Kuf Lamed, Kuf Lamed Aleph, these Tehillim. 130 and 131. There are really three steps. Going in the relationship of man to God. The first step is the step of facing God out of distress. That's the relationship of Yira. That's the second step is relationship out of hope. And yearning shall sarat et nefesh, inner torment, chadvat ha-galuy ha-chadash. We're looking for a different relationship. That's the next step. Shlav ha-shlishi, the third level, shlav p'nia Hashem, the level of facing God, of relating to God, toch shavat nefesh. For the calmness of our spirit, we're not stressed at all. We're just there. Shal mishe kvar matzat darcho b'avat Hashem. Someone's found their way in serving Hashem. That's the next steps in the Shir HaMalo, as we're getting out of the flood waters, what I call the gossip trap of Lashon Hara and the interpersonal conflict, getting closer and closer to Hashem. And the next parak, which is Tehillim Parak Kuf Lamed Bet, which is a long, for Shir HaMalo, that's really long. We dealt with this already. And it's the story of David wanting to build the Beit Midrash. Zachar Hashem David kol anu, remember all of David's humility, Asher Nishbal Hashem, that he swore to God, Adar Lavir Yaakov, his oath. Mavo ba'ol e'veti emelel eres yitzwai, that I will not even fall asleep. I won't go to bed. I won't sleep. I am semakom Hashem. I will not sleep until I find a place for God. We try to find a place here in Efrat, then Kiryat Ya'ar. Nevodom Mishkanotav, Nishar Chavela, Hadram Uglav. We'll find some place. It says, Kuma Hashem Limnuchatecha, you need to come. And this is all about how David wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. And the response is, Nishpashem David Emet, Lo Shivimenu, Yiprit Minacha, Ashit L'Kiseila. And Hashem's response was, you will not build the Beit HaMikdash. Your descendants will. Im Yeshua v'nech b'ti, if they keep my brit. So David doesn't build it, right? Even though in this kind of Shir HaMalo, he's trying to get to this point of Avat Hashem, but there's still something missing. And what's missing is the next parak, which is the second to last parak of Shir HaMalo. Because we can have a relationship of Abba with Hashem, but we need to have a relationship of Abba with our fellow human beings. That's the requirement for the Beit HaMikdash. The Pasuk says in Devarim, says that you build the Beit HaMikdash when it's hiniach lachem mikol oyveichem misaviv, when you have peace from your enemies on the outside, yishabtem betach, and you're all living securely in the nation itself. We have strife from the nation, then we can't do. So that's the next paragraph. Shir amal David, hinei matov manayim shevet achim gam yachad. That's the point we have to get to. Shevet achim gam yachad. Which really ought to say it all. That's all you need, right? But then the parak continues. It's a short parak. It's only three pesukim. There's a very odd simile in the next pasuk. Keshemen hatob al harosh, like fine oil on the head. Your red al zaken that falls down to the beard, zaken Aharon, the beard of Aharon. Sheyarad al pi madatav, that fell onto the opening of his robes, out of his garments. So, matov manayim shevet achim yam yachad is like oil dripping down from Aaron's head, down his beard, onto his clothes. What does that mean? I don't know. We're going to skip that. The next pasuk, which is the last pasuk, is a more reasonable simile. It says, it's ketal chermon shered, shered al haretz yom, like the dew of chermon that falls to the mountains of Tzion. Kisham tziva Hashem et bracha, that's where Hashem commands us his blessing. Chaim adolam, and an existence forever. So that we can kind of understand that the tal is the life-giving moisture. We talked about the tefillah tal. That's what, you know, it's a symbol of Hashem giving life. And it starts in the highest point of Eretz Yisrael. It flows down to Eretz Tzion. That's a symbol of Hashem's bracha. It flows down, and Shevet Achim Gam Yachad is part of that bracha, and then we achieve that Chaim Ad Olam. Live forever. Okay, that's the shalom there, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and shalom ben Elon Chavero, and that allows for true existence. And I always quote Sartre, who said that hell is other people, that we determine our existence by our relationship with other people, but the truth is that's not that. We should treat that heaven is other people's, that how we deal with other people determines our Chaim Ad Olam. So if I skip that middle pasuk there, I'm fine. My tov, my name, Shevrachim Bam Yachad, Ketal Karmon Shiarad al Haretzion. That's great. What about the Shemen Tov? Keshemen Hatov al Harosh. What's a Shemen Tov?
Isn't that for anointing either a Kohen or a king?
That's great. That's what's doing on Aaron's head. Still doesn't explain why. So what does that have to do with this Shevrachim Gam Yachad? Where's that connection there? And I think the way to start is to realize that we know that expression Shemen Tov. We say it Kohelet. Right? Tov Shem Mishemen Tov. Beginning of the seventh parak. Right? A good name is better, a name literally is better than great good oil. And it continues, Yom HaMavet Miyom Hivoldo, that the day of death is better than the day of birth, but I'm going to ignore that part of the pasuk. That's the first part. Tov Shem Mishemen Tov. Now, it sounds like a popular saying. I don't think it was original with Shlomo there. It's a pun, the shame versus Shemen. It's an anti-metaboli, which is one of those words you should know. This refers to here we can define it. Repetition of words in successive clauses in a transposed order. You know, like one for all and all for one, for all and all for one is an anti-metaboli. Tov shem, shem and tov. It's cute. It sticks in the head. You remember that. Yeah. And I assume David has the same meaning in mind. And the Medrash actually connects the two psukim, the Kohelet with our pasuk of the shem and tov al rosh. So Medrash Tachuma, shov shem, shem and tov, that a good name or a good reputation is better than good oil. Shem Tov Olev, because the good name goes up, it increases. Shem Tov Yored, the oil goes down. Meaning what? Shem Tov Olev, that a good reputation goes up. It said, "Yasechel goy gadol, bagadlah shemecha." You become a great nation. Your name will become greater and greater. The shemen tov is your red. It goes down. It says, "Kshemen tov al harosh yored." That's our pasuk. Oil goes down. Doesn't tell us what it means, but at least they're connected there. Some connection with the shem tov, and that image again appears in Shir Hashirim. When it says, L'reach shemanecha tovim, right? The smell of your shemen tov. Shemen turak, shemecha. And that, Mitzvot turak, the oil that is poured out, that is your shem, that is your name. Your name is the shemen tov that is poured out. Okay, therefore, almut avucha, therefore all the young ladies love you. Metaphorically talking to the dove, the beloved. Tell me about the shame. The shemen is a shame toad. So the Gemara tries to explain this. The Gemara in Harya. Tana Rabbana. Keshemen atov, yored al zaken, zaken zakan aro. That the shevet achim gam yachad, brothers living together in peace, is like this fine oil that falls down onto the beard of Aaron. What does that mean? Kmin shnei tipe margeliot. What? Oh, mazel tov. Okay. Kmin shnei tipe margeliot hayutulot ar aron b'zikno. The two drops of oil, like two pearls, would hang on Aaron's beard. Amra Papa. Tana and Rapapa said that we learned Keshum Misaper when he would talk, Alot v'yashvot lo v'ikar zikno, that those drops would go up and again go get securely ensconced in the base of his beard. He just walk around with this oil in his beard. And Moshe was worried about this. And when it says, Shema chas v'shalom ma'alti b'shemen ha-mishcha, maybe, God forbid, that I inappropriately use the anointing oil, right? This is the anointing oil, Shem Atov on Aaron's head, now it's on his beard, and now maybe I did something wrong with it. That's Moshe's worry. It's a bat kol v'amra, Shem Atov, ketal chermon. That pasuk here refers to that this oil is like the dew of chermon, matel chermon embo mi'ila. Just like the dew on the chermon is not mi'ila, it's not stealing from kedusha. Nothing wrong with it. Avshem mishkat shebezaken aron ein bo mi'ila. So to this oil in Aaron's beard, there's no mi'ila there. You're not stealing it from the mikvah. That was Moshe's worry. But dayan haya aron doeg, and Aaron was also worried after this. Amar shema Moshe lo ma'al. Well, maybe Moshe didn't do anything wrong. But nima alti, maybe I did, because I'm letting this oil stay in my beard. It's a bar kova amra. No, this voice came out and said in our pasuk tehillim, "Hine matov manaim shevet achim gam yachad." It's so nice when the brothers they live together. Moshe lamal afatal amalta. Like Moshe didn't steal anything from the mikdash, so too you did it. And that makes no sense at all. What's the oil in the beard? But the drops would move when he talked. And then Moshe is worried that he had stolen it. And Aaron said, no, maybe I stole it. What does that mean? The Moshe tries to explain it. What is this symbolism? What does it mean to have the oil in the beard of Aaron? And this worry about Me'ilah and the connection to the Tal of Hermon flowing down. And he explains it with two other statements about Aaron. One is from this week's Parsha. Shemot, Moshe is told, you're going to go take Bnei Israel out of Egypt. And Moshe says, no, don't do it. I don't want to, don't know. Keeps refusing. And then, v'ichar af Hashem Moshe. And Hashem got angry with Moshe. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, kol charon af sheba Torah nemar lo roshe. Anytime you see God getting angry, it does something. There's an impression made. Something bad happens. Here we don't see anything bad happen. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer, and Rabbi Shimon Yochai answers back and says, nope, Avzen Namra bar Roshem. There's something that happened here. God got angry at Moshe, because it says right after, Aaron Achicha Halevi. that Hashem tells him, your brother Aaron, the Levi, will come and be your spokesman. Well, Kohen who? It wasn't a Levi, he was a Kohen. This is what Hashem is telling Moshe. Ani amarti ata Kohen, Ruhu Levi. Now, it should have happened, right? You're going to be the representative, God's representative, to take Bnei Israel out. You would have been the Kohen afterwards, and he would have been the Levi, the one who would serve you. Achshav hu Kohen, vata Levi. Now, he's going to be the Kohen, and you're going to be the Levi. Chachamim omrim, so Moshe basically acted as a Kohen for the 7 days when they were built, inaugurating the Mikdash, teaching Aaron everything, that Aaron was a Kohen and Moshe was never a Kohen again. Moshe lost that privilege by refusing Hashem's command. That's one thing about Aaron. The other is the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Hil Omer, Hevei mitamidav shel Aaron. You should be a student of Aaron. What does that mean? Ohev shalom or v'dev shalom. Love peace, seek peace, ohev b'riyot, love people, b'kar motor, bring them close to the Torah. That's what Aaron did. So Maharsha is going to explain that this shemen tov, this anointing oil that yarad al pi madotav, the pasuk says here, literally fell into the opening of his garment. But you should read that more literally as yarad al pi, that fell down because of midotav. His character. It came down as a result of his speech and his character. Okay? That because he was Rodef Shalom, that he got to keep the shemen forever, that it would fall down from his future generations and his children would continue to be the Kohanim. The Shemen Ishcha would remain with his descendants. And we see that with Pinchas, right? It says, I'm giving you my peace, my covenant of peace. That's shalom. That's the reason why Haitalo Zaro Achara Brit Kunat Allah. They will be Kohanim forever, etc. So with those pieces, the Marsha goes back to our Agada. Return Lama. The Gemara is saying, Al Bishfil Midotav is because of the nature of Aram. Shaya lo befiv, that he had, that way he spoke. Shaya misaper, that every time he would speak, medaber shalom ben ish lechavero, he would create peace. Vaze amak shu misaper imacherim, when he would talk to others, hainu lasot shalom benihim, he would make peace with others. Hayu olot v'yoshrot, this oil would go and get deeper into his kin, into his beard, that would become part of him. Yirmoz b'zochud ze, that because, for the merit of him being gever shalom, that the anointing would not end, that his descendants would continue to be Kohanim. So, and it says that when Moshe saw this in Aaron, then Moshe was worried. To Gamkain, Kohen Gadol, because he had also been the Kohen Gadol for a short period of time, but he didn't get this oil that stayed with him. That symbolizes the fact that Aaron's children would continue to be the Kohanim, because Moshe's children would not be. That's why Moshe was concerned. Maybe I stole the Shemen Mishcha. I didn't deserve to be the Kohen Gadol at all. Obviously, I didn't deserve to keep it in my family. You know, my descendant, I didn't give them pass it on. I had some sin. So zachiti l'shemen mishuchim ha'elu. But I won't get this. And I don't deserve to get this anointing oil. Moshe Zacha Achi Aaron. That's what Moshe is worried about. So the bat kol that comes out and says, Ketal Chermon. No, this was like the dew of the Chermon that flows down onto other mountains. That Chermon is taller, is higher than the other mountains in Zion. I tell you, read me menu, and the moisture would flow down the heart to other mountains. That's not mi'ila when the chermon gives of its bracha to others. It's a good thing. Right? The idea is that the tal is flowing down to the other mountains. So the anointing oil that Aaron gets, that's in Aaron Zaken, lo Zaken and Cha, it's not in yours, not your descendants. Ein b'cha chashash me'ila. You didn't steal it. What you did was give it to somebody else. That was your gift. Azula Malka, it's a good thing for you. Chatawa Rosh, that you're the Rosh that you were where it started from. You were willing to give it to up to your brother, Lozar Darot for the generations. Chachlokatib al Rosh Aron, that the pasuk doesn't say that the oil starts out al Rosh Aron, it just says al Rosh and then goes to Zaken Aron. That's what he wants to say. That Moshe is worried that I've somehow lost something by not having the kahuna. No, you did something wonderful. This is Shem and Tov because you've given it to someone else. So why is Aaron worried that he maybe stole it? He's worried that, you know, my children didn't deserve it. They died. Nadab and Avihu died as they're serving Hashem. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. I don't deserve this. Shem and Mishcha. So maybe it was my fault because I built the Egel Zav. Amar Yatza Batko. So this voice comes out from heaven. The pasuk says, Amar Lahini Matov Manaim. Right? No, the fact that you and your brother, you were Samach Bolibo, when you found out that Moshe was going to be the leader, you were fine with that. The fact that you're living together, then that went on to become your characteristic of Ohev Shalom, Rodef Shalom. That's your Mala Tov, Shema Baal Mido, Tovot, Sheba Aaron, Vanaim, and that it was Tovu Na'im, Matovu Manaim. It's good, that's you Aaron and Na'im, that's pleasant, that's Moshe, and that both of you have can you know are not fine. You're saying Shalom between you, that's the gift. So the Shemen, the oil symbolizes the bracha that Shem gives us as human beings. So Shemen Tov is, in the words of Shir Hashim, the Shemen Turak, oil that is poured out. It's giving the bracha to others. That's what the Shemen Tov is. As long as we can share our bracha with others, then we have Shemen Tov. And that's the symbolism of the waters of Hermon that supply all of Tzion. Moshe anoints his brother, gives the Shemen and Mishkat to him. It's generosity. That's Matov Manayim. And that will end up with the last pasuk of the Ava, the Perek, which is going all the way back over here. Kisham tziva Hashem et bracha. Hashem will give bracha to everyone. Chaim ad olam. So it's in our pasuk, right? The Shemen that's in Aaron is because he's an Ohev Shalom Radif Shalom. And takes this Shem Hashem, which we talked about last time, the Shem Hashem that was erased to hold back the waters. That's a Shem Shalom. We get that. We take that Shalom. We turn that into his own shame, his own reputation. And the reason why it's Tov Shem Shem and Tov, that this reputation is greater than Shem and Tov, because the shame is the lesson that we give to others. That just like Hillel says, we should be like Aaron. That's the shame. That's even greater than what Aaron does for others. The fact that he teaches everyone else to spread this Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. And that's what we end up with our Shira Malo of the lesson. And that's what makes the Beit HaMikdash possible. When we get to that point, we go to the last of the Shira Malo, three Psukim, Tilim Kof Lam and Dalad. Shira Malo, Hinei Baruchat Hashem Kol Adei Hashem, Hamdim Beit Hashem Ba'ilot. Praise God, all of you who stand in the house of God. We've now made it to the Beit HaMikdash going up these steps. Tzuyachem Kodesh. Raise your hands in holiness, Baruch Hashem, praise God. And Yerech Hashem at Tzion, and God then bless you from Tzion as you go back home. Bless Hashem as well, the brachot of heavens and earth. And we looked at this pasuk when we talked about Halal, but it's really an introduction to Halal Gadol. And to summarize everything we've done in Shira Mala, we've gone from the Sfat Sheker, the Lashon Rima, the Lashon Hara, which was the Mayim Zidonim, this drowning in this Lashon Hara. And we go up from the Makim, this distance to Hashem, the top to the Har Hermon, from where we should share Hashem's bracha, and now we're part of the Omdim Beit Hashem. That's the way I look at these shiramal, the songs of ascent, of going up, of going from sniping at each other, Lashon Hara, to Shevet Achim Bam Yachad. So if we can do that and get to the state of Avad Chinam and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash from Har HaMinah. I will stop there.
That was beautiful, Danny.